I'm going to do two poems that you've probably heard. I apologize, but I think they're important, and I'm doing them. That's how we're going to roll. I'm going to do the sadder one first, then I'll tell a funny joke, and then I'll do another sad one. To the children detained in McAllen, Texas. I read that many of the children in detention regress. Toddlers return to wetting themselves. Diapers long since abandoned emerge from cardboard boxes, a renewed chorus of Velcro. I've heard the children stop talking. Don't understand why mother, father, parent, person doesn't answer a quieting call. I've heard they wake from and into nightmare. I've heard that social workers cry on the phone when they give the parents reports. I've heard it's one phone call every 3 weeks. I've heard that the children fall silent, that it's up to the parent across the country in a different jail to comfort, to come up with conversation, to fill the 7 minutes allotted. I've heard some just say te quiero over and over again. There is nothing else about this to remember or discuss. I've heard that some of the children will say te quiero back, and that it's so much harder to hear than say. The ears that somehow make the chest caught prey, the throat a trap. I've heard that some of the children have already forgotten their mother tongue, that their muscles bend in a foreign direction, that they've forgotten the sound of their mother's voices. I've heard some of the children call their social workers mother. I've heard that some parents have already been deported and don't want their children to be, that they'd rather live without them than let their children return to certain death. I've heard that some parents wait for their babies on the border, pacing a new road, undamming a new tributary. I've heard they throw the pacifiers in the river. I've heard a mother threw herself in the river. I've driven past the compound. It's next to the airport. The sign in front is nondescript. Nothing says there are hundreds of children in here. Nothing says here is a place where forgetting happens. Here is a place full of what's forgotten. I've heard they pray, the children, that even when everything else is a distant memory, that they still try to speak to God. I speak to God when I can, too. And I hold my baby. I hold my son like I hold the papers my parents carried, like a reliquary for a dead saint, like the blood of a savior I keep him close. I teach him te quiero every night, as if my love could be prayer enough. Thank you. So now for something lighthearted. I read here a couple of months ago, and there was a picture taken of me, and I was very serious poet face. And just over my shoulder is someone farted. And I felt like it really lent some gravitas to the situation. So if stuff gets a little bit too real, feel free to note, someone farted. This is actually not sad at all. This is my most political poem. It is called Daughter of the American Revolution. Daughter of the American Revolution. I almost failed my citizenship test. There were 10 questions. I missed the first two. To be fair, I was 12, and I explicitly told the old lady administrator I fared poorly on dates. My first lesson as an American: exposing weakness merely opens you up for attack. My friend Matilda will slough the skin of slavery over coffee too often. 400 years intoned reverent. The goal, she will explain, is to miscegenate things just. The future looks like you. This is when she will point at me, melting pot of wrongs made right. What day was the Constitution signed? A trick question designed to confuse. Most people answer 4th of July. I know this because I will, for years, poll my U.S. American friends. All of them miss the question. I have committed the date to memory, perfect in my acquired patriotism. Matilda laughs at me when I tell her I'm more American than she. Not possible, she'll say, and I'll know she's capitalized the letters. I am a daughter of Africa, Europe, and America, she'll say. I'll tell her I am the same. A different Africa, a different Europe, a different America. Plus, she'll say, I was born here. I'm not sure that counts as much as she thinks. The second question I miss, what day did the Civil War end? I mishear it and answer, slavery. The old lady will repeat the question, charitable in her administration. Appomattox, I will respond. She'll repeat day like I'm deaf until I circle my head slowly in disbelief that sounds like Spanish. I will grow tired of Matilda. Her contests about what shade of brown had it worse will wear me thin. I will try to explain the plight of Latin America, raped by conquistadores, double raped by America's Monroe Acquisitions Act. I will try to explain how invisible the U.S. Latino is in their own country. Even the NAACP doesn't think we are colored enough. I will tell her there is nothing more American than naming yourself after an entire continent, as if there was no one else, United States of. I'll ask her if she knows the date of Appomattox. My smugness does not fit inside her silence. When I swore to be a U.S. American, I was given a flag pin and a letter of welcome from the Daughters of the American Revolution. I looked at this old woman so different from the one before, hugging me in congratulations as if she'd given me the keys to her heaven. September 17, 1787, I said to her. She smiled, confused. April 9th, 1865. She nodded and mouthed, "Of course, dearie." As if her father's revolution was a secret I kept, she simply delivered flags and soft hugs, a legacy of stick waving and heart palming. And to Matilda, I will say, I took a test to be here. I filled out forms, waited in lines, endured examinations. I wanted it. Don't you see, Matilda? I wanted it. Unlike you. As if that counts for anything at all. Thank you.
Can I borrow your sheet to see who comes next?
Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. And up next is Mike Schneider.